All right, so we get started with a roll call. Let's take the 2nd of August. So Katrina, it seemed like was maybe not be here, nor Greg. So John Conway.
Here.
Cody Dar.
Here.
Here, Tony Grove.
Here.
Jen Hendrick.
Here.
Tim Krause.
Here.
Bill Whitekemper.
Here.
Okay. So, just a reminder, if you haven't had a chance to do the doodle poll with your availability for September and October, that would be great. Greg's not going to be back for another week, so I think I'm going to wait until he gets his in to bring in the schedule. Yeah, good move.
I couldn't see.
We're not lopsided.
We couldn't see any of those people over there. And Tony Steve.
Well, I always have. That hasn't changed since the last time we were in a meeting.
So, can we approve the agenda for this evening? Or does anybody have any changes or corrections? If not, can we approve?
Make a motion for approval of the agenda, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We have minutes from our July 26th meeting. We have a couple things we could do here. I know they came out this afternoon, and I personally haven't had a lot of time to review them. We can table approval until next meeting, or we can work our way through this discussion.
You're going to table it. Everybody has read it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Table.
Can I have a move to table?
I'll make a motion that we table.
I'll second.
Okay, in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. So we'll look at the July 26th meeting time. So I do want to say how much I appreciate these full and detailed minutes, and I'm sorry that we have to table them, but I'd rather have this quality of minutes, so I really appreciate that work. Okay, so I have a draft, an interim report that I've got some questions on for folks, but I think it's what we discussed last time. Questions where I have question marks are pretty obvious. It seemed like there was a presentation about transportation made on the 21st of October, but I couldn't actually open that document on our shared Google site. Do you guys remember?
Wasn't there two, the same report, it just one was abbreviated just to bring us back up to speed because we had... It was Dave Nichols both times.
Yeah,
I think it was the same report as just the second one on the 12th was just kind of abbreviated to review.
All right. Does anyone remember that the meeting that Randy Coyle and Tim Crockett were here for?
Because Chris Kelly's last meeting.
Okay, so that was in the sorry, I didn't write this note, but if someone could. But mostly what I wanted to get feedback on was, does the outline of the report reflect our conversation?
They have been April 13th. Might look at that for Randy Coyle.
And while you're on that sewer plant tour and sanitary sewer utility overview, I just a couple extra words might help.
Okay, can you say that again?
Just to have a little more explanation. He went over the sanitary sewer utility. Kind of saw it, and I mean, we kind of went on different tangents and different specifics, but both Ian Thomas and Randy Coyles were kind of addressing the same topic of development fees and cost of infrastructure and what that would, the implications on new development and what the costs would be. I don't know, so...
Should I call them the same thing?
Well...
Part A and B, or...
Should you also mention that Carl Scala had been on the regular part in that meeting?
Oh, yeah, I think that's...
Sure. Which one?
Carl and Connor.
Okay. Was that planned as a panel?
I think it was invited. Discussion? It was invited by Chris, I'm playing.
Okay.
They were notified, I don't know if they're invited, but.
Yeah, Laundrie seemed like knew he was going to contribute.
Okay.
Just development fees. It was more like, well, we talked quite a bit about the negotiated fees.
Yeah, I was trying to think of come up with a short word. It was cost
funding as it relates to developers.
Yeah, it was cost of infrastructure attributed to development.
Development costs and fees.
Point at Ian Thomas's presentation was essentially that we didn't have the right allocation of funding for capital infrastructure projects between the city and development. And the Randy Coyle and Tim Crockett was essentially the development fees right now are not real clear. It was too much negotiation. It wasn't predictable in going down that road. So it was kind of the same thing, like same topic. But, I mean, I don't think your wording's too far off. I mean, I think it gets the point across, but...
But your point, Cody, is that it was a discussion about the process as well as cost.
Yeah, how to apply those development fees or development contributions. Yeah, he did come in one time and talk to your utility rate.
It wasn't really a presentation so much
yeah.
as a
okay.
kind of available for discussion type.
Okay. So like these gentlemen give
exactly.
us their time every week. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sid Sullivan, and sent some correspondence to the task force, and we need a brief summary of his correspondence he sent.
I've got that currently listed under public input. Okay. 4B, narrative submitted by public.
Roy Darko himself too.
Well, just generally, neither one of those documents are on the our shared Google Docs site,
okay.
and I don't know that I've been forwarded those two. So, if even if it's redundant, if for me to receive them, if you guys have documents that have been distributed or passed out, if you could, well, maybe let me go ahead and finish this last section: documents reviewed. And send it to you, and if I don't have something here, you can send it to me, please. So.
Under 1A, would we, is there any consideration for the word recommendations after global?
I'm sorry.
Where we say organized by utility/global recommendations?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it, does it have value to mention the Google site? It seems like that's a
yes.
been a good working instrument of the task force.
So, just talking through this, but so starting at the top, I guess, the executive summary. So A would be a paragraph describing how we organized our utility and global recommendations, or how we organized the report, or what did you envision for what A was going to be?
Yeah, in the executive summary, the bullets are tell you how it's going to be organized. So I think that would be like a sentence that says we organized our recommendation into these two two types of categories, and then boom, each of the utilities broken down into, well, global, and then each of the utilities, and then within each utility, I set up to 5 recommendations on policy and funding, and up to 5 on the functional recommendations.
And then here are our 5 recommendations?
Yeah.
For each, or for here are the priority recommendations, and then have them separated by each utility and category. Seems like a lot of bullets, but yeah, I see where you're going with it. Okay. So, and then 2 would be a paragraph or a section, just yeah, each of these outlining what we did,
right.
How we came up with our recommendations,
what we looked at,
the public meetings we had,
right, who we listened to, yep.
So, to me, that kind of, you look to the next one, 3, and you have A and B. Should that be in 2? Should we describe what we're doing in 2, and then 3 just be the recommendations? Or do you like having a separate, at the beginning of the recommendations, having a paragraph saying what we did? I mean, it seems like we did, here's what we did in the executive summary, here's what we did in the description, and here's what we did in the recommendations.
Just a thought. Right. No, the concern is always that people just read the section that they're interested in, and if you don't give them the sort of infrastructure of the report to understand what they're looking at, then people misunderstand. So it can be extremely brief, but
gotcha.
Just remind them that here's why these are organized like this.
Okay.
I know it's somewhat redundant.
What about, because I just, to me, I want it to be concise, and I do want to include everything, but I'm also keeping in my mind that I don't want this huge drawn-out thing. But I understand what you're saying, and I agree that they probably will just go straight to the recommendations. So the other thing I was thinking about was, with each of these, we have a narrative, some background of these. Is that going to be within the description, or is that before the recommendations, or do we include that kind of narrative we have, kind of outlining some of the facts that led us to, you know, some of these principles that led us to our recommendations, like, for example, stormwater, we have that, you know, diverging curve of amount of work or amount of projects that need to be completed in the revenue, and it's just like diverging. So we mentioned that in the narrative, and then we have the recommendation that we need to increase rates or continue to increase rates. So what were you thinking that would be?
Well, because the drafts do have some variation in them, I think that there's just plain old work to do in going through each existing draft and kind of putting it where each piece of it goes into this outline. But I think some of it is going to go, particularly from the, I'm thinking about the sewer one, and streets into Section BA, where we sort of talk about what our review of previous reports, recommendations, etc. And some of it is, like you just said, it's going to go into the actual recommendations, right? And so, you know, we're recommending this because we referenced this work that was done in 2012.
So combine some of the stuff into the recommendation?
Yeah.
So in 2A, you would have review of previous reports, recommendations, and literature. You'd have like 2AI, which would be stormwater,
right.
And then 2AII, which would be sewer. And you would mention what reports, recommend or literature, narrative you would have in that. Okay. I just feel like we're eliminating the separation by infrastructure type, and we're organizing it by some other criteria, which it may be fine. It's just in each one of these descriptions, we almost have to have separate, like you did in the recommendations where you have stormwater, sewer, electric, you know, under 2A, you have to have that. Under 1C, you have to have that. And under 2B or whatever, you have to have those, breaking down it further. But that might be okay. I was just...
Yeah, I know. I mean, we based a lot of our recommendations on the fact some that we put that narrative background portion together, the narrative part. But when we're making our recommendations, can we reference, you know, attached document qualifies, like you said? I mean, I don't know how you organize that in the recommendation, so people know why, where that came from. If there's anything we felt strongly this recommendation was because of.
Yeah, right now we've kind of arranged them. We have all of our background information, we've had our discussions, we've had our recommendations, we've tried to get through one kind of. I kind of think I've kind of seen it more like you, Cody, where it's you move to the tab that's stormwater, to the tab that's sewer, or whatever it is, and you've got your background, your process, or all of those kinds of things, and because we had this information and we had these discussions, we have these recommendations. Kind of.
Isn't it going to make it a lot easier to put together as a whole, doing it like that? I would think. Not trying to take the easy way out, but I think it would be easier.
Well, that's the way we've been working on it, and I think that's why I was trying. I was trying to kind of. I see what you're saying, Tracy. Like, kind of, where we pull it apart, where we have background all together. We have process all together, and then we have recommendations all together, and they kind of flow through. That's just not how we've been working on it, so it's trying to kind of wrap our brain around organizing it differently than we've processed it,
Some
I guess.
Some of our background narrative stuff have been things that necessarily weren't in a document that came from Dave, but were things we talked about. Maybe are those going to be included, do you suppose, as some of the documents we were writing together with the background narrative stuff?
Yeah, and I think almost all the narrative that are in those are going to end up in here somewhere. But I think that, and I was not, in, it's never been my intention not to use those. I think it's, but around those, I think it's important to have pieces of this that people can pull out and just look at the recommendations. Consumers of the report are not, mostly are. We want to hit a variety of markets of consumers of the report. Those who are deeply interested in our logic and thought process and contextualization, and those that just want to look at the recommendations.
That's fair.
And so I just want there to be some pieces of this to pull off where it's easy to look at the recommendations. You've got to hit them both. So in the recommendations, you know, I see A and B is sort of setting up what's included, and then there are the actual recommendations, and that's where the work that's been that we've been doing is going to be captured. But I also, you know, you got to tell people the story of how you did your work too.
Does E on 3, does transportation need to be tagged on? Or is it streets and sidewalks?
You know, we can call that whatever you want to. There's some variation going back and forth in the work over the last year between calling that transportation and calling that streets and sidewalks.
It's more appropriately streets and sidewalks because we didn't delve into bus or air, or and purposefully the task force set aside having us just look at streets and sidewalks.
Physical infrastructure.
Yeah.
Whatever you guys think.
I think streets and sidewalks is
fine. Go back to the ordinance. Whatever it says.
Okay.
way too much.
It probably says both. It's frustrating.
Even bring it up is that there will be ones that will be comparing the ordinance to the report. And they'll say, what's the transportation part?
I think in our narrative we describe what we did. So if we want to call it transportation, and then in our background or wherever we put the background, we described that we are looking at streets and sidewalks and not services of transportation.
Yeah.
So we could match the language in the ordinance.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
I don't know if this is just my thinking or it doesn't really make a difference, but the global is after all the specific ones. It seems like the global would be before the others, but I don't know.
Yeah, I went back and forth about that.
I think
it makes sense both ways, but I'm glad you moved it up. I don't, you know what my thinking was, Cody, is if there's things that are going to irritate people in the global one, let's make sure they read the other stuff. But I agree with you. It could, in some ways, it flows better the other way.
I think it's fair to look at it as a, you know, a summary or an introduction, which is just whether you need to pick one and run with it.
Right. Well, let's, for, how about tonight, we just agree that it's going to be the end, or the beginning or the end.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anything we say right here is going to be set in stone.
Back up on number two, description of task force work processes. I wonder about specifically adding the, it's redundant that we've already mentioned the presentations and the speakers, but adding the presentations.
Well, I don't think it is, it's not redundant. I mean, this is just the interim report, but in the outline for the final report, you're right.
That was, in a lot of cases, that was the source of the majority of our discussion was actually the, like, for instance, Aaron Key's or Dave's presentation. Both Dave. And in some cases, we did ask staff to prepare additional information for us to be considered at the next meeting, that sort of thing.
Let's see, this is, do we... Is it needed, or do we recognize the oversight provided by Mr. Glasscock and Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, I think that in addition to members, we should have a staff list. Does that make sense?
Okay. We also had the attorney present for mm-hmm. one of our meetings where we were able to discuss.
It was part of the stormwater.
Yeah.
I remember.
It was.
Nancy Thompson.
Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor of the Mayor was there. Nice ones.
I think under public input. I can just list the people whose names are in the minutes.
Small item here. It's really small. It's not very big, but that's why it's really small. Okay. I'd like my name shown as John T. Conway, comma P.E.
Oh, sure. Yes, if anybody else has a name. As someone who has a name that people get wrong.
Well, I was named after my mother's two brothers, John and Thomas, and I pledged each of her brothers that I would use their name and my name.
First week of September.
First full week of September.
Search me.
What are we going to do? What's, is there any reason to keep him next before the Jim Winter meeting?
Not to me. I just wanted to run up past you guys.
Yeah, sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
17th or something?
17th or 24th. Shoot for that.
Might be nice to have a non-presentation meeting between the two presentations, just so that we don't have time to discuss.
Okay. So then we're back to old business. Sewer and downtown electric.
9:17. What were those two dates again?
7:30.
I'm sorry.
In September.
We don't have dates set for September yet, except I'm hoping not to meet that the week of Labor Day, Monday.
Did we get to 5? Or the F and G, did we go over those?
No,
I don't think we went over F and G. On page 4.
I have notes on defined criteria for modeling option of on-site sewer storage. Trigger for
Did you have any formal notes on what we talked about F? I don't remember. I didn't write anything, but we very well might have talked about it. I don't know what my thoughts are on that.
Yeah,
without thinking.
Yeah, both of our note takers are here.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's where we ended.
Right, on F.
Right before F.
Right before F.
Yeah.
E. I mean, it would be nice if the city did that. I don't know, is it realistic that the city...
It's going to go hand-in-hand with the requirement to install a backflow prevention devices on sewer tiles.
Do we limit the motivation for people to take part in that program if the city's going to pay for any property damage?
We promote the city to take care of it. I think you have to tie them both together, though.
I know this seems like a legal issue to me. I just started thinking about damage.
Could they coming up with a damage amount figure?
And disincentivizing
homeowners to take care of some of that and get insurance for it.
What responsibility do you guys have now if somebody calls you? Just say sorry. You're out of luck if
The city
should accept responsibility and reimburse.
Right now, we don't have any program set up for us to participate in installation of backflow devices or anything like that.
No, but
we
like
make recommendations on what somebody can do with their property to help them. That's as far as damage is first person.
Right. Unless you call
Sarah Perry's office to deal with claims against the city.
So,
right now you would just have to file a suit.
File a suit against the city for sewer problems?
Yes.
Okay.
Due to wet weather, one claim has been made to actually file a lawsuit for a statute.
Is it still an active suit, or do you know the outcome of it?
No, the house burned down. During the course of the whole thing, the house burned down. But we did so.
Oops.
That's not the house on this campus that blew up.
No.
Okay.
But there have some extenuating circumstances where we just probably have liability.
Okay.
It was not your typical sewer gas surcharge and backup at home.
Right.
If there was more to it than that. Oh.
But it was sewer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm willing to stay away.
It's an extreme response.
It was a very
it's
unusual,
an anomaly.
A
yeah.
very unusual circumstance in that particular property. But other than that, I don't know where any suit has ever been brought for wet weather related backup.
I'm not
6 years after.
Not well versed in legal matters, but it seems like if it is a failure of the city's infrastructure to operate adequately that causes damage, it seems like the city should be responsible. But I don't know if that. I mean, yeah, like you guys were saying, it seems kind of like it gets into a legal thing. I'm willing to just stay away from that.
It's not unique. I mean, that's my most. Municipalities operate. Would that be the same thing as if something happens to a transformer and your house burns down? I don't have any idea. Does the city ever have any liability on that sort of thing?
It's an interruption of service.
Well,
I mean, I don't disagree. I've always been appalled that wet weather events aren't reimbursable by the city, but I don't know that that's start happening.
that's not a big issue.
Well, let's think of it in terms of someone defined the problem. And if what magnitude is it? Or is it of a magnitude, if it affects one, then the city should be positioned to remedy it.
There's guidance out there on, I mean, the capacity question is not unanswered. I mean, there's the leeway. There's leeway, so what, like, given day, the sewer system handles itself. It handles what's coming. There's not exceptions for 9 inches, 7 inches of rain. And there's a problem. The city can't handle it. You need to pay for that.
And the question comes: is the city taking other measures to remedy this?
Rehabilitation work on collection system?
No, for sewer backups. It seems that you are. It seems that you explained to us that you isolated the problem areas and that there is a plan in place to.
Yes, it'll take a long time to get it complete.
It seems like it's no fault of the homeowner that backs her time range.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
I guess I'm just trying to think about how to keep both our time and recommendations within a frame in which the council, our city staff, and utility departments can act. And once you start talking about reparations in civil suits, that becomes a different arena where the city is operating. And I'm not sure what I mean, how we frame a recommendation to do that. I mean, I'm sure for risk management and from a legal perspective, the strategy to protect the city is going to be based on broader.
If you've just been sued once in the last 6 years, maybe it's not that big an issue.
Say that again.
If you've just been sued once in the last 6 years, maybe it's not that big an issue.
Once you make money available for,
it
would be a thing. Well, then
we
would have to.
It seems like our damages, they just don't sue. I mean, Katrina.
If it was stormwater damage, then, like, to the Agin houses on Agin, then the city would have to be reimbursing for all of those damages as they occur. And a lot of these are repeats. You don't want the homeowner.
I know if all these homeowners get tired of being told it's an act of God.
I'm sorry.
If all the homeowners have been tired of being told it's an act of God, every time it rains, it's your basement back up.
They need some protection. I mean, you can't insure against this.
So is the issue about prioritizing expensive projects that have been historical problems to address? Because that's a different sort of arena that it's probably worth trying to affect.
And that was the discussion in the stormwater section?
Yeah.
One more.
Yeah, I have a tough time wrapping my head around all the implications for that particular recommendation.
And move on to G.
Yeah. Was G part of the stormwater?
Yes. Okay. You're just sharing the cost with the sewer utility.
This was a part of the stormwater recommendation. I think what Bill's saying is that.
Yes.
Can we remove Are we going to find out how Springfield utilized that information, or did we? Seems like we had follow-up on that. It wasn't a big outlay of cash, though, was it?
$40,000.
Depends on how you define paying.
Was that the rainfall stuff?
Yeah.
I can get some costs on that if you like. It's a lot more expensive than you think.
$40,000?
No.
More than that?
Yeah. You got to have somebody that runs around and does all the maintenance and battery changes and all that other stuff. It gets pretty expensive. Initial outlay is not that expensive. It's the maintenance and the operation that's expensive.
Sorry, what are you doing with my...
That was back in the very beginning, right? When we first started, that was back in the very beginning.
Yeah, that was quite long
ago. It was in the stormwater.
Yeah.
Several months.
I have two sewer drafts, and neither one of them have changed.
Huh. One day, June 29th. Stay in stormwater, this recommendation?
That's what I'm recalling, but I don't have that part with me.
Recommendation was part of a bigger recommendation, but the specific one was, or is at this time, to gather real-time information for operational actions and to develop more refined historical rainfall data. The utility should explore the purchase and installation of an automated rain gauge system similar to the system installed at the City of Springfield, and we had a link to it. All of this was all in line with expanding and better utilizing our GIS system to analyze impacts of new development and analyze the operation of our the stormwater utility.
That's right, because Greg was going to write
using LIDAR and topographical stuff and stuff like that to have better analysis of where the problems are, what
so
the problems are.
You would have to go around and acquire a 40-acre if it wasn't city property and somebody to install just a little small weather station in various locations throughout town. You'd want to make it some sort of a grid system.
I see, okay.
And so you have to, you know, put in 40 of them, you have to purchase 40 of them, get 40 locations identified, installed. Well, some people probably would just scratch it easily, but no cost to it. And then you'd have to, you know, would be cellular phone data, so each one of them would have a $30 or $40 a month fee to radio that information in, or somebody would have to go out and get it and get one real time.
Is it the
operational cost that goes with it that probably exceeds the initial equipment cost?
Is it there with the Hinkson collaborative whatever CAM thing, didn't they install some rain meters and also flow and level creek level things
some
along
the
Hinkson and stuff?
Was at the university
projects
and they different gauges on those.
Those aren't yours, though.
And they have different weather stations. There's a lot of locations around town.
John Travis.
Probably a lot of data available from the university if you knew the contact to get it.
You guys don't operate any yourself?
We have a few. We've got one at the landfill, we've got one at the wastewater plant, we've got one at the water plant. I think we've got some at 2 or 3 fire stations that stormwater utilities installed. Just a very few.
So what's the term for it? When does that pay off? How do you justify that investment?
We use the one at the different plants just to record data for permits as far as rainfall data for your stormwater discharges and such as that. The ones at the fire station are being used to monitor some of those PMPs that have been installed. I mean, the water plant, I think theirs is just for stormwater permit. General information for that permit where you got to report how much it's raining. There's no general program in place to use it for general stormwater purposes or sewer purposes. It's all kind of specific.
It helps with emergency response. If you know it's raining 6 inches in one part of town, they consider emergency responses to that part of town. For water roads washed out, bridges washed out, bus basement backing up. And the university ought to share with the cost of it too.
I don't know all the pros and cons, and I haven't looked at the cost benefit and all that, but I like the way we had worded it on the stormwater.
So explore.
The benefit of it and what the cost would be for it and see if it makes sense. But I do see some advantages to it as somebody who does a lot of hydrologic and hydraulic calculations. It's great to have that kind of data available. And you can correlate the effect of, different types of rains and where at and stuff like that. And, you can see what type of rains, what your thresholds are, when you have problems, and how often, and at what rain levels, and stuff like that. So I can see benefits to it, and it'd be nice to have, and there's the emergency aspect of it's real time also. So I personally do see the benefits, but I don't know the costs, and I don't know if we want to just dive into that and really. So I just think saying explore the cost and the benefit of it, it seems like it's worked for Springfield. They like it, so.
We might add that emergency management, if it benefits from it, might pay for some of it, too.
Yeah.
Each dwelling unit should be classified as a residential dwelling unit, and each dwelling unit and each business should be charged a sewer-based charge. At the present time, the city charges classified as a residential dwelling unit as having a water meter, and a non-residential dwelling unit is served by master meter. To me, there's all dwelling units should be residential. It doesn't matter. The sewer charge should not relate to the size of the water meter that residents have got.
So I have a process question. Is this the same conversation we're going to have on the 30th with Jim Windsor?
I don't know.
Well, if it is, then I would respectfully ask that we table going over these recommendations and have it as part of that conversation. Does that make sense, Bill?
Sure.
Okay. And then it can be specifically on the agenda for that night. So I would like to make a list of the recommendations we want to make sure we cover. cover in our conversation with him. So that's 2A. What about B?
Jim probably didn't comment on that.
Sense to table A through D for that conversation?
I don't know if you have a comment on C or not. We have an informed opinion on C. At the present time, the city only charges a surcharge when the water meter service property is on. I feel that the city ought to charge a surcharge when the water meter is on or off.
The sewer service is on.
Yeah. Okay. And it costs to maintain the infrastructure, whether the property's occupied or not.
Makes sense.
Charge for residential properties $11.01, which is the amount to be charged to the property owner if the property is not occupied. That's similar to what we're doing with the stormwater charge, charging to the property owner rather than the tenant.
So is it okay to move 2A through D to that, to a conversation specific?
A and B?
I was thinking A, B, C, and D.
Tad on me, and I'll discuss C.
Okay. So A and B?
A and D, yes.
Okay. Let's look at C.
Well, just before we get to, so what are we trying, just trying to, still trying to catch up on reading these? What are we hoping to, what are you hoping to get out of? What are you hoping Jim Windsor will add to the conversation with A through B, A and B?
I'm not hoping to add anything to it.
Okay, well,
I don't disagree with it.
Tracy, what are you hoping that Jim will add to the conversation?
I'm just thinking about our timeline, and if we're going to cover these issues in a conversation, do we need to spend two meetings on it, or does it make more sense to just do it as one conversation?
Is that what we're specifically talking to? Maybe I missed what Jim Windsor is going to be discussing. Is this specifically what he's going to be discussing, or but one of the things he's specifically going to be discussing, which is sewer rates?
Sewer rates, yeah, right.
Is it how it's billed, or is he talking? Because it seems like that would be valuable. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I was just...
Well, that's a good question. I mean, how we frame the conversation with him depends on what we previously discussed.
I'm willing to wait before we get into the meat of the discussion this until Jim's here, but I think we should have some kind of knowledge of what the discussion is going to be beforehand to talk to him to see. Well, I know Bill already does, but I don't really have a real good idea. And it's not seemed like the question is how it's billed, which is what he's very knowledgeable. It's that this isn't we should be, for a more equitable process, the billing system should work like this, which he'll be able to tell us if that's realistic to be implemented like that or not. So I do think he should be part of the conversation, but I guess I just, maybe I'm just being obtuse or something, but.
To me, that there's areas where we're leaving money on the table that we could be collecting, but aren't.
That's what I think Bill is trying to say, and even maybe just as much of that, it's, Bill thinks it's not being equitably charged right now.
We're not charged at all.
Here's how it's charged right now. The minimum charge for Ross, stick with sewer. Sewer minimum charge for 200 unit billing with individual meters is $3,120. Sewer minimum charge, base charge for billing with a master meter is $150. $176.16. $2,202. That's what we're talking about there. This building is classified residential. This building is classified as commercial.
Yeah.
So, this is a really naive question, but how does classified in this sense compare to zoning classifications?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Not really. Residential is defined in the standard use ordinance as an individual unit of individual meter for water, and then everything else is non-residential.
Okay.
The only two classifications, and then there's exempt. There's three classifications I believe is looking at.
Okay.
So maybe that's it. Maybe Jim will frame how we do it now. Bill can present his A and B and C or whatever ones we decided that relate to that and what he thinks needs to be changed about that, and then Jim can have a chance to say from his perspective as far as operationally or practically changing it what that would entail and why we could or couldn't or why that's realistic or why we wouldn't want to do some of his recommendations. Because I know when he came in last time he had some pretty strong opinions that we shouldn't be doing what you're doing, what you were saying, but that was framed around the water stuff, and it really wasn't specific to sewer, and it's a complicated issue, and I'm not
I
real.
I kind of lost, I think, during part of his.
Yeah, so I
think there's a, I would agree, Cody, and I think there's an element of to have one to speak to from a long-term experience and have working knowledge of the evolution of the ordinances, and that how possibly these new changes could be framed or enacted as a possibility. And sometimes I wonder, have we ever been down this road before? In terms, there's the cost of service study, and there's a task force on sewer, and so on, and that may reflect on this. But I think the main thing is to get this out in front again, and to have task force take their look at it.
The last cost of service study done by for sewer is going to be by Burton and Associates in 2014. It said in the future, if the utility is able to identify the accounts in its billing system and her multifamily accounts and the associated number of dwelling units for each such account, you might recommend and consider establishing a multifamily residential customer classification. Which is what
they're
proposing
they
do.
Yeah, which is, okay, see, that's a part of the, whatever you want to call it, the validation or the emphasis to take another look at.
I think it needs
so tightly defined.
I want to look at it more. I just, agree that it'd be beneficial for Jim to kind of outline how it's done like briefly how it's done, and then you can make your presentation while he's here.
I've been trying to get this information from Ted and John for a while now to compare the commercial building with 200 residential units in it to a residential building with 200 residential units in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see what the different charges are. And you look at it and you can decide for yourself, which is fair. But I need to confirm the numbers first.
So is this a hypothetical, or is this based on an actual...
Bill just gave this to me tonight,
so we're
going to take a look at it and see if...
It's using the same amount of electricity and the same amount of water for two different buildings. Yeah, it's hypothetical for two different buildings.
Same functional use, just different...
Different meter.
Different metering system.
Different meter or one meter.
So you've made some assumptions on this in terms of...
Water usage and electrical usage.
Yes, usage.
200. 6 CCF of water a month, and 200 or 2,000 kilowatt hours a month of electricity. Which you can use anything, but as long as you use the same for each building. Before we discuss it, we need to make sure the numbers are right.
Right. And everybody needs a chance to look at it.
And that's just the revenue side, that's not the expense side.
Right. Right. Do you have average or standard estimates you use for the expense side?
We've had to look at it, but that's what we're going to try to do. And Jim would be the best one to ask.
So do we need... I'm trying to think through new information here. Is it worth it? It seems like it would be useful to for you guys to do this sort of looking into this and then maybe have him run a similar exercise and see what that looks like, or just respond to this, or...
But we're going to check the numbers and then we'll see if we've got to come up with expense and for that.
Okay. So it probably makes sense to save this discussion for the 30th,
okay.
Do you think?
Sure. I need to save anyway to make sure the numbers are right.
Right. Okay, very good. So if you had to tie this to a recommendation or recommendations, Bill, where would you put this?
Under revenue.
Increasing the general.
I almost think, just not to get into it, but for each A, B, and C, I mean, these are lengthy recommendations. I almost want a bullet point at the top that kind of summarizes what this is like in bold. And maybe that's what your first sentence is on each of these, but some of them, it starts with a background before it gets into something. And
it's just a justification.
Or a justification, and then the recommendation is in the text. I don't know, just for me to help see which 2A, what 2A, 2B, 2C, and 2D is. Kind of have some kind of one sentence in bold at the beginning so anybody could kind of see what they are.
Okay.
So are we going to go to 2E? Is that what you think? That's fine with me. I mean,
see, need be ready to billing.
C and D are related to billing.
Yes. The city currently charges customers inside the city limits a sewer charge and charges the customer outside the city limits 50% more. Mm-hmm. The base charge and the buying charge plus 50%. But they charge Boone County Sewer District, Boone County Sewer District, a 20% discount on their customers, whether inside or outside the city limits.
Isn't that because the Boone County Sewer District provides the FTE to service those customers?
Well, they're providing something. I'm saying that if you're going to do anything, you need to give them a 20% discount of the city customers. Inside the city, 20% discount of the rate city customers are paying. And outside the city customers should be given a 20% discount of the 50% surcharge.
I agree with that.
You want to explain better than I just did. But.
I definitely agree with that.
Well, but I understood from the history that the 50% added on was sort of a disincentive to not annex, right? I mean, wasn't it, or are they?
I don't know what the point of that is.
I don't know why that was originally put in the ordinance. I'm assuming that it was to encourage annexation.
Right.
You don't have the ordinance so that you're outside the city limits, it's 50%. 150%. If you're actually in another municipality, it's 200%.
Right. So the question is, do we want to reverse a disincentive from a previous policy era?
We're not reversing anything.
Do what?
Well, you're taking the question and saying, should we even have the 150% at all?
Right.
Which is a valid question. Why do we have that? I mean, and that's what we just asked, and well, we don't really know.
You also have to understand, if you're not annexing, you're not getting property tax. You're not getting other benefits of the city. It's not
called. Well, you still got it written in there that you have to annex to get city sewer. You could just take off the 150% surcharge.
But it's a pre-annexation. You're not paying anything for anything else until you do annex. You're not contiguous in that.
If you're not contiguous and you go to annexation agreement,
yeah,
you're paying
after the sewer, you pay 150% until you actually annex.
And then you get all the benefits of the city, so that reduces the sewer cost and pay. You have to pay for some of those other services that you're getting.
Well, we're not using any of the other services because you're outside the city.
But I still got to maintain that sewer line.
And that's why you're paying the 100% sewer rate.
I understand, but it's a benefit to get into the city. That's what you're trying to say.
And you still have to annex to tie into it. It's not like you're going to
annex
it. Yeah, well, which...
So the city
which,
gets to.
Yeah. Which is regardless if there's a 50% additional or not. You're still on the hook to annex as soon as you're contiguous. It's still written in those annexation agreements.
Sure. That's why, yeah.
So there's no... shouldn't. I mean... I understand why you would want to charge more if they're not in the city, I guess, just because... Well, no, I guess I don't really understand factually why you would need to pay an additional 50%. You're getting the same service that's inside the city.
Well,
and you're still on the hook to annex. It's not like the 50% is an incentive or disincentive.
But once you got to do a sewer extension outside the city...
You know, nobody, you know, you may be hooking up one house. It may cost you a lot more money to recoup that cost to run it out there. It was before we did a lot of stuff with the sewer district, things like that, that was written.
When was it written?
97.
The ordinance right here, I've got the policy was August 97. I got it.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the policy.
1964?
I'm guessing.
When you charge 50% outside the city.
So this is, I'm confused now because he keeps talking about the Boone County Regional Sewer District. The 150% is that fee is going to the city or it's going to It's what?
But nothing new with Boone County Regional Sewer District.
Am I on the wrong? We're on E? What are we looking at for F?
Yeah,
E.
That's what the city charges, city customers.
Okay.
City charges city customers 50% more.
Yeah.
Charge Boone County 20% less.
Just because they keep control of their pipes, they maintain their pipes.
So to me, this we're talking about we got two different issues here. We got the thing that you brought up with should people outside the city pay 150%, which I think is a good question. But if we take that as what it should be, if we assume that we agree that it should be 150%, then we have the Boone County Regional Sewer District gets charged 20% less of what an inside the city sewer service customer has to pay, regardless if that customer is inside the city or outside the city. I think they should be paying 20% of 100% or 20% of, or get a reduction of 20% of the 100, the full charge, or a reduction of 20% of the 150% charge, which would be. I am very not explaining that well, but do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so right now, if you're tying into.
So, one of the things I think you might be a little, I'm not sure about is we don't dictate what the customer pays to connect to the sewer district. We all charge.
Is the sewer district.
We don't dictate what the customer.
But if the sewer district has a customer. Yeah, so you can't look at that. So you can't look into the sewer district's customers and say, this sewer district customer is inside the city and this sewer district is outside the city. But in theory, all the sewer district customers that are inside the city, you should be charging the sewer district based on the inside the city sewer rate, which is 80%. Versus if the sewer district customer is outside the city, you should be charging the sewer district for that customer 80% of the 150%.
Why?
Because if they were in the city, if they were... Well, that goes back to the question, why do you charge them 150% to begin with, then?
Why not charge the district 150%?
Well, then why do you charge other customers that aren't going through the sewer district 150%?
Are there customers that pay 150% that the sewer district only... Does it's
80%
high?
I mean, can you be both of those things? Sewer district charges their customers
Whatever they were outside the city. Bring him a 20% discount. 20% discount should be from the 50% more city charge customers outside the city limits.
How many of those customers are there?
Henderson.
I don't know.
Tom. When Tom was here, we talked about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. I've got the information on how many.
A couple thousand.
Yeah.
How many sewer district customers are connected to our system? But I don't have it broken down by inside and outside segments.
Not a great deal of money. It's more of a philosophy.
Well, if the 50% extra is just for extending the collection system, which is kind of what you were leading
up
because you're extending it out. Yeah, which if the sewer district is paying for the collection system maintenance from the tie-in out, then I can see how you wouldn't need that extra 50% to recoup additional cost, I guess.
And if you're going to charge them 100%, what benefit is it to keep their system? We'd be maintaining their system.
Oh, I'm not saying we should charge. I'm not saying we should charge them 100%. But it still doesn't seem clear to me that there actually is additional 50% cost for outside the city limit customers. They are extending it themselves, or well, I guess
you got
the midway.
When the thing was ripped, what was the cost of the average sewer that month? So 1964 was our average sewer cost.
Yeah, probably not very much.
You know, per month.
It was originally that section shows up as part of the original 64.
So if you're $2 a month for sewer, I'm just throwing something out.
Mm-hmm.
It would take you a long time to recoup that line at $2 a month. Or $3 a month at 1 in 50. So it's increased over time. Yeah, it's $20 now. But that line extension out there would cost you a lot more. I'm not saying the 50% is right, but it should be more than just.
But you got line extensions for people, for annexations that annex right away, you still got the same cost to extend the sewer.
But I also get a benefit to the city of other things. They pay general fund.
So it sounds like there are three issues here. There's the 20% discount, there's the 150%, and then there's when those two things co-occur.
Well, specific to what we charge the sewer district.
Right.
I personally don't really have a problem with the 20% less for Boone County Regional Sewer District, but to me, I still have a tough time reconciling, and I think I have a better idea, and John's helped me out with that, but I'm still not 100% convinced that, first of all, the 150% is necessary outside the city limits, additional cost, and two, that we shouldn't be charging the sewer district the same thing as what our policy is for.
And I'm going to pull a wrinkle at you. If you're not going to charge 150%, should we be extending sewers outside the city limits?
Not at the expense of inside the city customers.
Pardon?
Not at the expense of inside the city customers.
There you go. That's why you charge 50% more. Because you are charging them to extend that out there.
Yeah, I charge Boone County customers.
But you're charging and a person that recently annexed that extended a whole bunch of sewer also. But you get the, I guess you can say you've got the additional benefit from their sales tax.
I
Well, I mean, if the only reason you'd say that you're extending sewer outside of the city limits is because they're going to pay the 50% extra.
That's not the reason. The reason is a lot of times they take out a health problem, an on-site sewer that's maybe failing, but they're not close enough to tie into the Boone County Regional Sewer District, so we go out ourselves and extend it out there to take out a health problem.
Most time it's the private property owners that do
actually,
that.
Actually, the health department's asking us to do it a lot of times.
So you guys have capital projects?
And you talk to Stephanie Brown, we're talking about changing that policy you're looking at to not require a pre-annexation agreement.
I love that.
And so both they're going to get dinged to 150.
Well, that would be fine, I think, because right now you guys got people on the hook for health code violations that they have to meet all your annexation
and
stuff.
We're trying to change that. But if you owned a house with 100 acres, the 100 acres don't, in part of the agreement, just
your house. Kind of like, yeah.
So
you come right down to it, the person outside the city pays contributes as much for the sewer treatment plant, collection system as somebody inside the city. Somebody outside the city contributed as much to the sewer system as somebody inside the city.
We're not paying any city property taxes.
There are no taxes involved in the sewer plant.
Right.
I think that's a valuable recommendation, though. Something about, I don't know, I don't have the exact wording fleshed out or anything, but the way we operate with sewer extensions and hooking up to the sewer service requiring annexation. right now.
I think we'll probably have a draft of that before y'all get done.
Oh, really? That'd be really
nice.
Once
I sit down with Stephanie and Mike and try to get that out, we'll probably hand that to you and say, this is something we probably ought to change.
Because I really like that. Just health code violations, and not for development potential,
correct,
but just for
no
that property,
fields, no nothing,
just the existing use and building that they should be able to hook up for a health code violation that DNR is saying they got to fix, but they don't want to, and they shouldn't be required to go down that path.
But anybody that's contiguous will have
managed. Oh, so you're not taking away it for the contiguous property?
No, I'm just taking away for the pre-annexation.
Well, I think it should be for the annexation,
no,
too. Well, if they don't want to annex, then why are we making them annex?
To fix your sewer.
But they can't, because DNR and Health say you can't put a lagoon. I mean, then you're making them annex, and then you're on the hook for all the annexation requirement stuff.
Is that, is more of that flexible?
For the annexation stuff?
Yeah.
Not if you're contiguous, there's no reason not to annex if you're contiguous. If you're pre-annexation,
oh, yeah,
the odds of you getting annexed, let's say if you're a mile away in the next few years, is pretty remote.
Right.
So, but as far as contiguous, you really should annex. Well,
like, for example, that Harvester, I don't know how familiar you are with
it. Off subject, Corey.
Yeah. It's still a sewer thing. I mean, it's still a recommendation I can see for... Yeah, I don't know. But they're contiguous. They have a DNR health thing. They just got the same buildings. They don't want to develop. They just want to get off DNR's and the health department's, list. And the only way they can do that is annex. And granted, they have a horrible situation, but it's been there forever. But they're saying, the city's saying, they wrote an annexation agreement saying if you want to annex, you got to build the street, the way the annexation agreement was written, it's not even a building permit. It's like to annex, you have to grant these easements, fix your parking lot, do lighting, do landscaping.
I don't believe that. The sewer's not being required of that. The sewer's not required of that.
That's what the sewer's required if they want to annex.
Not the sewer. That's
not to get the sewer.
Yeah, it is.
It's not.
I've got in my office this development annexation agreement that the only reason they want to annex is so they can get the sewer, and that's what your guys' annexation agreement says.
That's what we're talking about.
So
there's
four or five houses. No, four or five commercial buildings, and then a big vacant lot. And so the policy is annexed.
Let's stay with
it. Yeah.
Let's get off that.
So I do. So if you're pre-annexation and you're paying your 150% and you annex in, then you go to just a regular sewer bill.
And the city picks up the tab on this place you're talking about to do all of the stuff DNR is requiring.
The city's making the developer pay for it.
150% sounds like a bargain.
That's what I'm saying.
So my other question is about the 20% and the 150%. It seems like there should be enough data around to figure out if those percentages are the right numbers.
Well,
it will be for some applications.
We could look at it. If we can go back and try to figure it out.
I don't mind taking on a 53-year-old disincentive policy, but we need to make sure.
Policy, I'm going to look at their 25-50 years anyway.
Right.
Needs to be looked at, no doubt.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it. Is there any way we could get just a staff form, some formal from staff on what the justification for the 50% is? Or maybe it's in the ordinance, we just haven't seen it, but... I mean, that seems like a valid question.
That would be in the ordinance.
Seems like I mean, that seems like a valid question. Why are we charging 50%? I mean, it might be obvious, but it's not in the ordinance. Maybe that's just a question we can start with.
They said it's part of the written code. That's going to be hard to find.
So, if we're looking at it and we don't have justification, is there justification for it? That's what we should be asking, I guess. And maybe there is. That's
probably
what
is, though, and it's probably going to be real hard to find from that go back a long time ago.
No, I'm not saying why they did it originally, but like now, like
where it came
like
from,
let's look at it now.
Where it came from originally was, you know, kind of all municipalities had the same sewer use ordinances, and those same general things were in a lot of different cities' ordinances.
And I'm not asking.
Districts come into being.
Wayne County Sewer District was formed in the late 70s.
78.
It didn't actually start being functional until the 80s or something.
I know, but I think all that was done before that, and so, you know, there wasn't nobody to take care of it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not asking for what the justification was back then.
But
I just
they started talking about the district in 1968.
So,
I'm not asking.
Now the sewer district would be taking care of them because they'd be considered their customer.
I guess my question is there are there contemporary methodologies that look at cost in a different way so that the ratio the percent might not be 50%, it might be 75% or 20%, or like are there examples of existing cities making decisions about that? And is our rate still in line with what is
check see what's rate building do.
It's a common
so it's arbitrary.
We've learned
arbitrary.
Other cities.
Yeah.
And that another angle at this is you could review case law to identify if there's been any lawsuits brought that challenged a city's authority to just do what they do. And I think you'll find that there is some case law.
I just wanted to get some feel better about the 150% because right now the only answer I'm getting is well that was what how it was done in 64 and John's you know explanation that you know we're recovering some cost to extend sewers.
What I tell you today is it probably not legal. Hancock would let you do it without a cost basis.
Yeah.
Since it was done before Hancock, nobody's ever challenged.
Missouri's great pride, the Hancock
Amendment,
right? Okay.
Yeah.
Did we come to any consensus on the E? Probably not.
I guess my thing with E is I think it would be worth determining if 20% is really the cost of maintaining the pipes, so to speak, and if that percent is right, but if the water district is maintaining the pipes, they're putting FTE toward it and resources that the city's not, so it seems like there should be a discount that is proportionate to the amount of work it is.
Yeah, I'm personally not as worried about that. I'm fine. Just the 20% is what it is. But
I'm not too excited about getting into what the city and Boone County work out on their deal.
Well,
I mean,
20-year agreement. So if you know, if it really only costs them 10%, that's a lot of revenue we're missing. If it costs them more, then
yeah, I guarantee that 20% is not exactly right.
No, it would depend on the size of the system.
Right.
What's in the system? I know over, what is that, winding trails or whatever is out there. They got a lot of grinder pumps inside the home that they take care of. And so there's a lot of things that they do that we don't do.
Right.
Probably based on what our cost to maintain our budget system
right.
versus our total operating cost, excluding capital and whatnot. We'd be that
I'll review the case law.
It's fun. I'm not qualified. You know. But will you really look at it?
No, I will.
Okay, thank you.
I think I'm still interested in this, and I still haven't been completely satisfied that I don't agree with E of bills. Probably refined a little bit, but that somehow recoup the Boone County Regional Sewer Districts that are outside of the city should be charged a reduction based on the 150% city charge versus the inside the city cost. Especially if we're going to assume that the 150% for outside the city is just going to be what it is, and we're not going to look at that.
Did we decide that?
No, I haven't decided that, but okay. I didn't know if anybody else was still going down that path.
I think any time a policy is 50 years old and without good and without a good explanation of why it is, then you should look at it.
Yeah.
Even if you can't find it.
So John's going to look at what he saw regarding that.
And what that amounts to, have individual citizens brought suit to a city based upon arbitrary charges. And actually, I know who to go ask. That's the
charge for Boone County.
B, we talked about stormwater, didn't we? Is that one of our recs for stormwater? That stormwater sewer advisory board? Although we talked about just sewer stormwater? No, because we already have a water and light board.
Pardon?
Leave the water and light board, but add a sewer and stormwater advisory board? Is that what we settled on instead?
We didn't. I don't think we settled on what exactly
we're going to recommend.
Right.
We had a few things. We had a placeholder because one of the things was added.
Well, to get all the way through it first and then reflect back.
Because this would probably fall under the global recommendations.
That right? Was to get all the way through.
We also talked about adding sewer to water and light responsibility.
Right. There's a couple things, both the sewers.
Get all the way through it and then reflect back on what might be best.
Right, so B and C are related.
Which one?
Water and light do?
Or their alternative proposals?
Well, the three we had, I think, at the time were create a sewer and stormwater advisory board, add sewer and stormwater to the water and light board, or reallocate it and have an electric board by itself because it's kind of its own deal, and then add water and sewer and stormwater together in their own board, which would take some doing because the charter and stuff. But I think those were our three kind of options.
I think that's right.
Which, me personally, right now, I'm leaning towards recommending there be a sewer and stormwater separate board.
That'd be great.
And maybe it's not, well, I don't know. Maybe it's something like this task force where it's just be applied for certain specific projects or tasks as opposed to just a permanent board, you know. Maybe it's just a task force every 5 years or something for cost of service and stuff like that, or I don't know, but something we can talk about, I guess.
Right, and there are many rational proposals that could come out of that, and I would rather give three quality, rational recommendations than spend a lot of time, you know, trying to hash out a single perfect recommendation. I got that too. So D.
Why do they use a winter quarterly average?
Because you're not watering your lawn, right?
But then aren't you losing money on Why isn't it an annual average?
It is an annual average, but it's based on the 1.25 average.
How's that an annual average?
They multiply it by 4.
The average each month for the 1.25 becomes your yearly average.
I use more water in June than I do in December.
Yeah, but you pay the same sewer bill every month. Your sewer bill doesn't vary.
You don't want the sewer charged for the water that's going on your lawn.
Your average usage in 4 months in winter, right?
5 months
in winter.
I think it's November.
January. 3 CCF. Thing. We pay 3 CCF every month.
Okay.
Drop the high and the low.
Oh, so you're not arguing for a higher charge. You're saying people that don't have exterior water options.
Well, this would come into play if you classify residential dwelling units as master meter units. And also the 1.25 average for people who live in apartments is basically their actual usage.
Right.
We don't have any outside water.
So pay too much?
No. I'd say the time to do. They're being charged 1.25 average. The person in the apartment went on vacation for the month of July, they're still being charged a sewer bill based on the 1.25 average of water usage. It should be charged.
Wouldn't that happen to me too, though, if I go out of town for a whole month?
No, you're charged. Your average water usage is 2 CCF for the 1.25. You're charged 2 CCF for July. Whether you're inside, in town or not.
I'm lost something.
We charge you $2.27 for each 100 cubic foot of water you use. Mm-hmm. You work for average, your average usage in the winter. Mm-hmm. And you charge us each month of the year. Mm-hmm. If you're gone in the end of the month, you still charge the average usage. Well, you've got outside water usage, so I'm saying it's least fair for you. If you don't have outside water usage, if you live in an apartment, you should be charging actual usage. Your sewer bill should be based on the actual water usage each month.
How difficult would that be to track versus how much it's actually gaining?
Shouldn't be difficult at all.
I must be getting tired. I'm still not really tracking purpose.
It's a finer adjustment to correlate your sewer to the actual water usage over a 12-month period rather than a 1.25 month period. And
I would think it'd be more difficult to charge on 1.25 average than it is on actual water usage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Has there been any analysis done on how much this actually results in for apartment dwellers?
You think they're going to pay more or less in the long run? Or are you just wanting it to be equitable?
Give me equitable. Pay for what you use.
Right.
How does the city gather information on water on water usage? Meter readers, or is it all electronic, or how does that work?
Meter readers, yeah.
So you physically have people go out, look at your meters 5 months of the year?
Pretty much every month we try to make rounds and they read the meters. Mostly through electronic gathering, and they have to get close enough to read it.
How, what's that like?
Drive down the street.
Drive down the street? Okay.
Oftentimes, yeah.
And why are they not doing it in the summer when people are watering their lawns?
They do charge water.
Read the meter.
They're reading the meters, but as far as
still your yard.
As far as sewer,
it just clicked.
Water meter reading every month for the water bill.
Right.
Yes.
It gives you that 1.25 average for the residential sewer bills.
Because you're not flushing hose water. it's going into the grass or the grass. Okay, it just clicked.
But people in apartments don't have any means to use the water outside the apartment. Right.
But they have a master meter, so...
Well, master meters aren't charged on far average. Individual meters are almost charged on per average. Probably 10,000 apartment owners, apartment tenants in apartments that are charged on per average when they should be charged based on actual water usage for sure.
And one, if one was to do that, then you'd have to go through a new rate computation.
A new way?
A new sewer rate computation. Because the denominator, the water usage for the sewer rate development would increase.
It might increase, it might decrease.
You'd have to, in any event, you'd have to.
Yeah, it's true, how much money you're collecting.
Seems like in theory.
The rates, that's the expenses, just the numerator. You'd have to examine what the denominator is, which is the usage.
To me, the whole point of the winter quarterly average is to take out what's in the lawn. If you don't have a lawn, it's a moot point. So it's, I mean, I know ideally, yeah, I mean, you should be charged exactly what you flush down the drain, but to me, is it worth changing it?
Yeah, that's where I'm trying to get to, too.
And I don't know, maybe Jim would have something to say. He's like, oh, no, it wouldn't be a big deal at all.
Well, I guess I would want to know if there was really a meaningful difference in how much people were charged.
There may be as many people being overcharged as they are undercharged. There may not be any financial gain or loss.
But it would be more equitable. It would
be more equitable.
I'd like to know what it would take to track how many people have access to outside water spigots, pools. Is that something easy? Is that a box in the billing thing where they can just uncheck that box and then all the meter readers close? It just goes straight monthly for the sewer charge? Or is it a lot more complicated than that? I don't know, everything being equal, then I would agree with Bill. Yes, let's do it this way.
I guess I want something out of it. I mean, I'm all for everybody being fair and all of that, but every resource is limited. Time's limited, money's limited.
I feel like you go through all these efforts
to try to make sure everything's equal, but you know...
That's what I'm afraid is to be more heavy.
My approach could be that this be a part of the next cost of service study.
Yeah, it could.
There you go.
Recommendation that be looked into.
That way they could get into the nitty gritty of it and look at all the data.
What it costs.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that.
I mean, perhaps with the new billing system.
Yeah, it'll be easier.
Maybe there's the ability to, you know, it's on the computer, right? Isn't it just pushing a button? And isn't that what people tell you?
I just don't know how they're going to, I mean, surely they don't have it already tracked, like, each meter and corresponding if they have an outdoor spigot or not. It just seems like that might be a lot of time and effort.
There's no differentiation. It's just water in, stuff out, right? I mean, it's just water in. You guys don't have any way to...
You don't know the department. I mean,
when there's subdivisions in town and the covenants won't allow them to have a spigot on the outside of the house, they have to have an irrigation system, and it should be served by a separate meter. So,
okay.
that right there would be an example of where we're going to have 5% of family home.
Right. Older multifamily units do have outdoor spigots. They're not locked up, and people use them for various things.
You seriously build houses without an outdoor spigot?
There's some newer ones.
You can't wash your car.
I mean, I don't wash my car.
Well, that's definitely against the covenants.
Like your little petunias and stuff, you have to hump it from inside the house. That's crazy. Or wash your siding.
You gotta pay somebody to come wash your siding.
Oh, for love.
So the next one, are we gonna be able to get through these?
I think the last one, at first glance, appears that was the charge of the task force to examine construction practices.
It felt like it was a pretty broad statement. We could revisit the statement, but I agree with you. I mean, we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty of.
That's part of E. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Those are construction techniques. And I'm all for them. I don't know if that's part of our charge.
Probably not.
What'd you say?
Probably not.
Oh, probably not. Got it.
Well, it's 9:09, and aside from these that we have tabled for the 30th, Bill, would you be willing to sort of go through? I'll ask Katrina to send
make
you
a summary
and do a clean on this.
Yeah, make a summary.
Yeah, do a clean up.
Did you have the ones from Greg and John and Katrina that we were going to incorporate when we went over? Like A, we had gone over, we had said we were going to use as a basis Greg's number one. I don't know if we've, do you have some of those notes?
No, I don't.
I'll ask Katrina to send out her notes.
I might just put a brief little couple notes on what I remember us talking about combining these, but yeah, and get Katrina's. I have some notes on Katrina's too that we were gonna. Yeah.
What do we want on our agenda next? Electric utility issues.
Pardon?
Next week for the 9th. Is that
all
electric?
Yes, okay. Or
can
be.
We have minutes for July 26th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, right.
And I have something here that give everybody something to chew on, but we can take that over. Two on between now and then. I'd like the opportunity to read it this evening, Madam Chairman. To the Secretary. So I took an initial run at electrical system recommendations. It said it is recommended to the City Council that the proposed Mill Creek substation be built as originally designed and be connected our appropriate electrical transmission lines to benefit the downtown as well as the city's entire electrical system. The project be funded with enterprise revenue and or CIP reserves, which may cause other electrical projects to be delayed. Since the department has revealed the critical nature of the available electrical capacity to be 2 megawatts, the administrative delay now enforced should be extended until such time that the Mill Creek substation is online and able to feed the downtown area. Number two, the following sub-recommendations are connected with recommendation number one and be considered by the council.
the city refund 3% monthly electrical charges to all system users on the system since the effective date of the electrical rate increase, since the users are paying for something not being completed, which includes the Mill Creek substation. And almost a year has passed and no clear path forward defined at this time. In a like manner, reduce the electrical rates to the level prior to the 3% change. Part B, redeem the revenue bonds issued for the electrical project with the bond funds not spent to date, and if there's any difference to the original amount, use interest earnings on the bond proceeds plus non-restricted cash assets of the department to make up the difference. Part C, the city terminate the engineering services contract with Sega Engineering, Inc. due to the lack of performance by the city. Final payment to be made for all services rendered to date, plus an amount to be determined to reflect lost profits by doing business with the city. The final payment to be made from enterprise funds and or current reserves. Additionally, the city will note on the final invoice and an apology for the awkwardness in contracting, and the original intent was good faith contracting. Part D, the city notified NERC that the city requests what actions the city can take so that the city is not under the jurisdiction of NERC to avoid penalties and or fines. Once this is known and implemented, notify the city of Fulton and the University of Missouri that the city is no longer a transmission authority and that they need to seek other options for mutual transmission of electricity. Part E, a meeting be scheduled with the Citizen Appointed Waterline Advisory Board and the City Council to determine the course of action for the future electrical transmission.
The end. Thank you, Mr.
Lot to ponder there.
There is a lot to ponder.
Did you post that on the website?
I'm sorry?
Did you post it on the website?
I can ask Carol to... on the Google Docs site?
Yeah.
Yeah, it will probably be faster to have Carol email it out to us.
And also, I want to reflect what it said, that it be placed in the minutes of this meeting.
Okay.
Since I verbalized it.
These are proposed recommendations.
Yeah, just proposed it. But just, yep.
And we're going to discuss them, so there might be some.
Be others, and there could be some that you know.
And this is a draft at this
point. Oh, yeah, it's a draft and modified, and there'll be some that you don't want to go there. I think some of the focus is it's related to downtown, and we're concerned about the commerce downtown, and that we put ourselves at risk, and that we need to, time is not on our. Not sprint, and we need to move hastily to get this done so that we're in a better position to meet the needs of downtown and have it more reliable, and then also it will integrate with the system, which is a byproduct of it, and that needs to be done. Given my experience and what I know about the electrical department and the way the operation department and electrical system and the transmission authority capability, that I think what sometimes what I think is that we, that the department has moved faster than our ability of our governance to stay in harmony and alignment with it. That we've gotten into matters that have gone beyond that our governance can deal with.
That's probably a recommendation. Right, there's a recommendation there too.
And so then, if we have, then we need to step back, untie different things, and get to square one, and then mutually move forward.
This will be on our agenda. Would you mind putting a watermark, a draft watermark on here, particularly if we're going to...
Yeah, I can do that.
Thank you. Circulate it. I mean, you know, you're putting it out here, and I get it.
Yeah, and there's some...
Right. We want
there's
to,
some pretty...
there are people who see the world...
That's not business as usual.
Right.
And I stand ready to defend myself.
Right. We want to be deliberative.
Okay, real quickly, I had the pleasure of participating in a honors social science colloquium at MU with Professor Folk and his students, and they have produced two documents here that I would like to have that are related to the substation, and I'd like to have those put on the Google site.
Okay, cool. Will you send them
through? Well, I can, yeah.
You got the electronic copies?
Yes.
Okay, good.
From Dr. Folk, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Other comments of staff or the task force? We're adjourned. Thank you very much. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.